this thing. No title again.
And I did lonely be a little mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
You may guess where I am from the sound you're hearing in the background. It's quite a sounding. And I'm parked under that same maple tree outside St. Andrew's Cemetery where I've been for the past few podcast clips. One of the reasons is I needed to get out. Well, let me back up a bit. Went to church this morning. I may or may not get back to that, but it was nice to see Greta again. Wonderful to see Greta again. And the families hosted some of my students and the men from the men's group getting together and talking. How we're going to visit somebody who had surgery and can't get out. And came home, had lunch. Good, some great leftovers from all that wonderful food we cooked the other night. And then Yuki decided it was time for some love and affection on my lap. And when you love a cat, and, you know, it's the only way to have a cat is to love that cat with all your heart. You know, if they're... You just want them to enjoy their comfort. And Yuki just jumped up on my lap. This is an outdoor cat, a bit wild, but it knows... You know, it knows what the tender, loving touch means. And she'll sort of roll over and say, okay, now she really likes to have her arms stretched out so you can sort of massage on her armpits. She really likes that. So I was there a good hour with Yuki on my lap, changing positions and holding her here and there. And it's just wonderful. It's so nice. You know, the Olympics on in the background, and that was good. And the Blue Jays, watching the Blue Jays, it just flipped over and something back-to-back home runs. It was great. One of the things about having a cat is you can start, you're allowed to make new noises. So you're not really talking. You know, I might call her, Yuki, Yuki-chan, Yuki, you know, the usual at night when I want to get her in. But there's also a whole lot of other noises you just make to talk to the cat or to... You know, when you're patting her and scratching under her arms, you might make these whole range of other noises. I don't think I can make them now because I don't have a cat on my lap, but it's fun. It's liberating. You can do that. You can make silly noises that just go, you know, hand in paw with holding a cat. You know, loving a cat. Anyway, park that. I get her off my lap. I can go now and get my, McDonald's iced coffee, vanilla flavor this time. Drive to Buffers, and I can see from Kingston Road the sign is posted, parking lot full. And oh my God, it was full. It's not even a great day, but people out their boats, and it was incredible. So all over, there is not a spot anywhere. So come back, and you can go up Brimley and get into Thompson Park. Not a single parking spot available in Thompson Park. Full. So the default is, well, you just exit Brimley, come up and turn along this road, and here we are, the only car at the gravesite. Yeah, it's wonderful! I love it. It's so great to have this spot. Well, you know, what's the difference between... I'm looking at trees with a dotted, and, you know, by an awful lot of tombstones, grave markers, whatever. But it's a fine site. It's a comfortable place to be. Anyway. Yeah, damn, what an introduction. I wanted to share with you the opening of what it was I bought last night. Now, I recorded a clip last night. I haven't heard back yet. I don't know what I said. It was after Brian and I had that one last beer we weren't going to have, but the our good friend, the waitress, came by and said, well, boys, and we looked at each other. The band was just starting their second set. We said, what the hell? Brian orders the Sam Adams, and I say, I'll have the same. And it was a good way to go. You know, I was home by 12:30. Not too bad. So, park that. It's today. But I did probably mention that I went into a little store right next to it called the 180 Smoke Shop, I think. The 180 Smoke. And it is a shop for people giving up tobacco with showcases full of these damn things. But anyway, I got something. I'm holding the card now. Herbal vaporizers warranty. Due to the typical intended use of herbal oil wax vaporizers and applicable laws, they are all sales final, or all final sale. And any or all applicable warranties must be dealt with solely through the product's original manufacturer. In this case, the original manufacturer is Grenco Science. Now, Grenco is the company that made the pipe I have that I can no longer use, the one with the coil. Now, I went in this place. I really enjoyed my chat with, was it Eugene? I can't remember his name. I wrote it down somewhere. And he said, yeah, they learned their lesson, that the coil method of heating, the coils just don't last. And then it becomes useless. You have this wonderful device. But the thing about the grain coal is they've done a beautiful job of packaging, I guess, like, you know, the way Apple products used to be. This is a G-Pro herbal vaporizer, and I'm just going to read before I open the box. This is a first. This is a first item. I have not opened it yet. Grain coal science. The contents include one G-Pro herbal vaporizer, one G-Pro mouthpiece, one G-Pro removable filter, five... Jesus. That is one noisy trailer. Five G-Pro filter screens. Now, that's nice. You can clean your filter. Now, he told me, as long as you clean it, you know, properly, you don't even need to replace the filters, but you got extras. One G card. Now, that card has got little holes in it. It's like a grater. So if you've got, you know, maybe you got buds or something and you just want to get the powder to put into your vaporizer, you just rub it over that little grater and it'll you know, scrape it down into just little pieces, fine pieces that burn more easily, okay? One G-Pro cleaning brush, two G-Pro extended mouthpiece sleeves, okay, good. Three G-Pro mouthpiece sleeves, and one G-Pro wired USB charger. Now, the reason I went back to Grain Coal was because it's my first one, so I've already got a charger, and I've got the brushes and screens, and I don't know if any of it will fit on this new model I've got. And the new model, of course, I got because it is no longer just a coil. It's actually a chamber, like a little oven that heats things up. So a beautiful black box, silver lettering. I'm going to open it now, if I can just find where it opens. Does it slide open? Or... Ah, here we go. And hopefully, well, there's probably instructions online. Got a little black booklet. Oh, user manual. It tells you what all the pieces are, how to charge it, which I'm going to have to do. How to load, turning off and on. Power button will turn red once the device is powered on and beginning to heat. And then there's a temperature control, which is neat. The G-Pro Herbal Vaporizer has three built-in temperature settings. The color of the temperature indicator light underneath the power button signifies the temperature at which the housed dry herbs will vaporize. So you've got red at 160 degrees centigrade, green 193, or blue at 215. Now I will just set it to green in the middle because I really... don't know the difference. Well, wait a minute. It was recommended that the user begin with the lowest setting and increase to higher settings according to the amount of vapor desired. Okay. All right. Well, I'll start off on low, number one. Battery indicator, cleaning. So, little booklet there. The thing is bigger than the old one. He was trying to sell me to another company. And I said, no, you know, I really like these smaller things that I can easily carry. Now, here's the thing. Oh, it's beautiful. They're just so nicely made. They're clean. They're new. Got these digital lights. You just sort of snap off this top, and you show me how to do it without breaking it. You think you're going to break the sucker, but you don't want to. There's a way of, there we go, popping it back. And there's your chamber. Maybe you put in a filter. So just drop the herbs in there. Now, I don't have any loose. The only thing I've got, my new supply comes in Monday, and I'm going to try the low, the stuff with, you know, minimal THC, and see what that's like. So there you are. You got a beautiful little chamber there. That pops back on. You've got your charger in the end. Now, there are sleeves for this thing. I don't quite know how that works. There's your mouthpiece. You're going to have an extended mouthpiece. Beautiful. Made just beautifully. Really, really, really. Now, you probably want to know what I paid for this. I hummed and hawed. Like, I knew. I'd gone into the place. It was already in my mind to buy one. And I thought, wait a minute. I arrived by chance 15 minutes early. I'm in a shop that's selling it. And I've learned my lesson in the past. When the situation is right, just go for it. I don't know. Maybe somebody else has a month sale. Maybe. I don't know. Do I really want that one? No. Everything was green light, green light, green light. Do it. I did ask for the discount. He gave me 10% off. So it came to $116.91. Under $120, which is okay. Another one I looked at a different head shop, the Smiling Buddha, was starting at $125, no discounts, tax on top of that, so this is okay. Now, underneath the cradle, the little box where it sits, I believe will be a second layer. Oh, yeah, here's the cap. Lift that up. And there we go, our USB charger. I can charge it in the car right now. That screen, the brush, the filters. Now, it did say, did it not say they were... Oh, yeah, here they are, extra pieces here. Extended mouthpieces. I don't quite know what that's for. Maybe get you further away from the heat. Could be that. How do they fit? Give me a second while I open that up. I hope you don't mind. I mean, how many of these have you actually heard on a podcast anyway? It's probably your first one. By the way, I'm still very excited about the idea of doing a bar cast. It won't be from the bars, it'll be about the bars, but, you know, yeah, these extra mouthpieces, I guess. Jesus. If you're sharing it with somebody, I don't know. Hold on for that. Oh, it's pretty neat. They fit right over. It looks like a duck call, but it fits right over the thing. So it gives you, yeah, flexible little rubber piece that fits over the mouthpiece, so you can change those. It adds an extra inch and a half to, removal from the heat source. Oh, I like it. And it's a nice, it will fit in a shirt pocket. Here's the thing, I'm in church today. Greta's giving a wonderful talk on patience. And it was really, really good. And it was heartfelt about, going through yoga and so on to try and keep your mind from ruminating on all kinds of things that are just going to upset you and so on. And good talk. But as with any talk, my mind wanders. It doesn't matter who it is, how interested I am. The mind takes off, and suddenly, I'm sitting there in church, and I'm in my Road Trek 170, which I don't have yet, you've heard all about that. I'm in my Road Trek 170, I've got my vaporizer in the car, I'm showing up at the American border, they do a search, and they say, hey, look what we got here, we can seize your van. And I'm prepared to say, no, you can't do that, like, that would only happen in the Soviet Union. You have no right to take my van. Oh, yes, we do. We look at this, we can smell it, you've used drugs in this, and, step out, we're taking your van. So anyway, it wasn't a pleasant little scenario, and I'm trying to argue and point and realize, and I'm wanting to say to them, you know, this is just like the fucking Soviet Union, you'd expect this would happen in Soviet Union days of the state just taking things from you, and with people no recourse to justice, or anything else, nobody can talk back to, the police have authority, and realized if I was going to be telling that to the Americans who took my van at the border, I'm in worse trouble accusing them of being communists, you know. But this is what happens when you have a mind like mine. It wanders sometimes, okay? That's all I'm saying. Anyway, I'm very excited about this. I can charge it right now in my car. Why don't I do that? I mean, it's just too cool that I can charge something, you know. I take it out. I got a little charger here in the car for, what to say about charging. Hope you don't mind this, right? Low battery indicator. Prior to use, the Jeep Immobilizer must be fully charged to charge the Jeep Immobilizer. Connect the Jeep Immobilizer USB charge to the base, in the base of the vaporizer. Connect the other end of the Immobilizer to any USB port. Once connected, the power button will turn red and remain red until it's fully charged. Okay, let's just do that, shall we? Let me lift up the bottom again. I mean, I know some of you this won't be too interesting, but I'm realizing, too fucking bad. There's probably a lot of things about my life that some of you don't approve of or don't find very interesting, and that's okay. I am still very keen to this talk on bars, which I want to give to the Talking Is Dead Network as a regular series, because believe me, I've got the bars lined up. I mean, I'm not kidding. There are bars, and there are bars that I just know. Here it is. Okay, I'm just plugging it in now. Of course, the ignition's not on. There we go, snapped into place. Let's turn on the ignition. Let's see if there's a red light goes on somewhere that's supposed to. I don't see any lights anywhere. Come on now. Put that in there. Did it not just say? I don't think this has to be on to charge it, does it? That's for my iPhone. It's got the USB port. Once connected, the power button. There's a power button. Will turn red. There's no way it's a silver power button. It's not going to turn red. There is a little light underneath. Anyway, the power button will turn red and remain red until the unit's fully charged. A fully charged power button will turn green. I'll just turn on the ignition. No. This is correct. All right, let's just plug this in again into the ashtray. There we go. I like the idea of being able to charge it while it's done. There's nothing. There's no lights turning anywhere. It's colorblind. I don't know. Let's just leave it for a bit, you know. Let's not worry about that just yet. Load before joining. Before turning the unit on. Load before joining. Yeah, turning it on. That's right. We'll do the loading after. Okay, anyway. That's it. I'm very happy about this, and especially with a new load of new shipment coming in tomorrow, or Tuesday at the latest from Canada Post. Now I'm hearing about some people. I was listening to The Salad Years between our good friends, and I heard a certain somebody who's one of the partners on The Salad Years talking about how he broke his arm and a friend turned him on to some weed, and then he went to one of these herbal shops in probably Kensington Market, I don't know, or near where he lived, and they got him some edibles, and he's loving it. And this is a guy who I guess wasn't all that big on smoking before, and now he's, bam, right into it. So I gotta get me some edibles as well, or, as Barnacle Bill told me, just make the butter, make the brownies, or cookies. So there you go. There you have it. It doesn't look like any color to me, no, I don't see any sign of it. I'm disappointed in that. I would like to have seen signs of red, because everything else is right. But anyway, we shall see. Boys and girls, Scarborough Dude here for you on Dixon Jane's podcast number 575. This thing about the bars, I realized I can basically bars tell my whole life story. Like, I go back to the El Paso. I said to Mark Bell, age 16. Now, I think that's a big exaggeration. But because each bar has stories that go with it. It's not just about the bar at all. You know, I'm not describing the decor or anything else. I'm not good at that anyway. But I'll be telling the stories that go with them. And they just keep running through my head. Oh, there's another one. There's another one. There's another one. You get to the Masters, you know, Dakemi's in Yokohama, and you've got a whole slew in Vancouver and Montreal and Ottawa, the Chateau Lafayette, of course, the Laugh. My God. There's a richness to it. And again, I'm telling this because I think a lot of the things of my time have passed. And I can almost thank Jason, with an E, for bad-mouthing drunks, and, you know, in rightly so from his perspective. He's a clerk, some guy comes in, he's drunk and mumbling and likely to cause trouble. Of course, you're not going to be too impressed. But when you're amongst other drunks yourself, and we're all stumbling and mixing our words and laughing and singing too loudly and doing all the stupid things drunks do, it's all good fun, you know? Hail fellow well met. And so I want to balance things out again. So wait a minute now. Alcohol has been a huge part of my life. Bars have been a huge part of my life. And I'm not just talking about a bar you go in. Don't give me this shit about some generic bar. I'm talking about bars of character. They're like pets. And they do have a limited life. Like, bars die over time. Now, the Only is still going. But of course, you got the Only. And it's just so many. 30 minimum full-fledged bar stories. So anyway, I'm going to leave that. And trouble with me is, you know, I get really hepped up on an idea. And that's what turns me on. I get excited by the possibility of something new. And then the dog work of actually following it through. And, you know, I have to do a bit of research. You got to tell you what street it was on, you know. I have to Google a fair amount. Well, what? I can't remember. Was the Marble Arch, was that on Richards? And what did it become after that? And what was it before that? And what were the years of its heyday as the Marble Arch? And, you know, why did I pick that one? There's some research involved here. So, all right. Stay tuned. But meanwhile, stick with the Scarborough Dude on the Dixon James podcast. And, these things will keep on coming. Believe me, they'll keep on coming. Signing out. Here's a tune. Bye for now. Damn, I wish that fucking red light would go on. I'd feel a whole lot better. All right. Bye-bye.
Wasting my time, resting my mind, and I'll never pine for the sad days and the bad days when we was working from 9 to 5. And if you don't mind, spend my time here by the fireside in the warm light of the love in her eyes. Thank you.
spend my time here by the fireside in the warm light of the love in her eyes.
Check, 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 check. Chicken in the oven, chicken in the oven. I was just listening to episode 2 of Dispatches from the Podcast Emporium. This featuring my good friend Bob. And, of course, Anthony on the other end. I love it every time we hear something about Montreal. But we're going to change subjects here. We're going to try out my herbal vaporizer, the G Pro that I've got from. I remember I was trying to charge it up last episode, charge it up in the car, and didn't have much success. Well, it's because I think you have to turn it on first. It's not quite clear, but I've opened the page where it says turning on off. The G Pro Herbal Vaporizer is engineered with a safety locking mechanism to prevent accidental use, and an automatic shutoff system to prevent overuse and maximize battery life. To power vaporizer on off, press the power button 5 times quickly. I'll do that in just a second. Where did I put it? Here it is. The power button will turn red once the device is powered on and beginning to heat. The power button will turn green once the heating chamber has reached vaporization temperatures. 4 minutes after powering on, the device will automatically shut off. So this is going to be a test, and of course, having some common sense today, I took the batch that arrived this morning's mail. By the way, it was delivered yesterday. I wasn't there because I was out ball bowling. Did I tell you that? Maybe I didn't. Yeah, I knew. Oh, get out of the house. Go lawn bowling, it'll be better for you. And I was still really feeling shaky. Like, God, I don't know if my body can take it. Like, I got wrecked by the end of this tour. And, but the other voice said, no, go, never mind your herbs. They'll wait. So I went, and I had my best game yet at 4-3-2-1. I scored a 38, which is up from my previous high of 25. Very good. Anyway. Came home and there was a delivery notice, so it'll be ready tomorrow afternoon, 1:30 at the Shoppers Drug Mart pharmacy. So this morning the doorbell rings again. I don't know, that's another package, and it was the same postman. He'd come by yesterday. He said, "Ah, yeah, I just thought I'd take another chance and see if you're in." And it was a guy, possibly Jamaican roots. I couldn't tell from his looks at all, but was the friendliest, nicest guy. Like, it just. The whole encounter is, you know, he got the forms out and I signed and he explained why he was dropping it by, you know. And the next guy coming on, you know, might not do that. He's changing location. Just a very friendly, friendly person that made you feel happy. So that's one more good human encounter that that I've enjoyed this past week or so. By the way, I'm at Beaufort's Park now and there's a wind that's come up over the lake and this is like winter rough seas. Huge waves splashing up over the rocks. Like, if you're walking along the seawall area, you'd be getting splashed. Amazing. Anyway, I've got with me an unopened bottle or a plastic container of dried marijuana, and this is the one that's only 7.08% of THC. So that's very low. The other ones are usually hovering 19-20%, right? 7%. But 10% cannabidiol? I'm not sure where I make that pronunciation. Cannabidiol. Seems to me the stress should be somewhere else. But anyway, I'm going to open it up now. And there we go. It is factory sealed. So we're going to pull that off. Hang on, lift that up there. And I don't want to spill it all over me, but I'm trying to hold it up to the mic so you can hear it. But damn, I don't have the strength to rip this damn thing off. Jesus! You know, holy shit! Well, you get extra sound effects when you hear this podcast. It ain't coming. It ain't coming. I'm just gonna have to pop that bastard. Come on. What do you do it this way? It is so sealed. I mean, it's amazing how well sealed it is. Not even that good, I guess, but Jesus Christ. You should have, like, proper tools and utensils. Okay. This ain't gonna work. I gotta get a knife. And I probably don't have a knife in the car. And I used to always have a knife here in my, maybe I got a knife in my bag. No. Oh, isn't that amazing? What a jerk I am. What a jerk I am. Holding up production on this, these podcasts cost by the minute. Here's me. Well, I got a lighter. I got pins that are actually full of joints. I'm just gonna, yeah, there we go. That was, ooh, oh, the smell. My God. Ooh, that's strong. Fresh, too. I'm reading a very interesting article in the latest, not Atlantic, but Walrus. Good magazine, worth subscribing to. Okay, now here's the other problem. It's in Big Buds, right? Oh, God, this smells good. But what they recommend for burning in this thing, in the G Pro, is that you you scrape it. You get out what I'm getting right now. The little tools, so that you've got more of a powder with it. I guess this whole podcast is just going to be taken up, and holy Christ, it's hot. I think I better open the back windows. There we go. Yeah, they give you a little, nice little tool that apparently you just run your weed over, and it grates it. It's a grater. Okay, it's a grater. Let's figure out which side it works. Now I need something to grate onto so that I don't lose it all. I got a map of New York. Yeah, I got a book. Science fiction book. Yeah, that's better. From the decades of the 40s. Okay, so there's people all around me, too. All right, so I'm going to grab one of these buds. There we go. And I'm going to grate it over this thing. You probably can't hear that, but I've never done this before. Never had to. But it's just so you're burning just you're putting smaller pieces in. And of course, as always, when you get the buds, there's always a little bit of stem with it, which you don't want. I don't know, this doesn't seem very efficient. But okay, whatever it is, I got a lot of flakes and stuff now. There, and there's the twig I don't want. Alright. So, I got some fine stuff, because remember, it has to vaporize it. Alright, we've got some fine stuff now. And what we're going to do, gee, it went from that big, big lump to, oh, well, that's a sizable portion. It's almost enough for a joint from that, just that little bud. Okay, so now, we're going to load the, there's a trick to getting this top off, too, that I like. It just feels like you're going to break it, but there is a trick to snapping off the top so that you can, there we go, load the chamber. So I am now doing a little bit. Remember, this isn't going to get me high. This is just going to see if it's going to help my back problems. Don't want to load too much. That's about half. Let me just try it. Just a little bit for starters, all right? Snap the mouthpiece back on. There's only one way it'll go. Come on. This strikes me as the weakest link that if something's going to break. There we go. Now, click five times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, a red light is on, red light is on. And that should mean that it's heating up. Now, meanwhile, I've got to be very careful because I got this stuff loose. Now, what am I supposed to turn green? Did I say that? Yeah. I'll take my glasses off to see because they've turned dark. Should put the lid back on in case anybody comes by. It'll take a couple of minutes to heat up. Nice looking pan. Oh, and there's a little mouthpiece you can slip on the end too, which I'm going to do right now. There we go. Which part goes green? Light, I guess. Yeah, because still showing red. Probably not overly inspiring podcasting, but it's a journey. It's a journey. And she's still red. I think I charged it up enough yesterday. Come on, boy. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I could have just Bob and
For if you want just one album and every song you like cut off perfectly in the middle.
Yes.
The 40-minute 8-track was good for that.
I remember for years and years and years, my dad had made a couple of mixed 8-track tapes that he
played. Oh, there's green. Okay, now we can go.
Because we had an 8-track in the car as usual. And there was a lot of years, for at least 15 years after the 8-track disappeared, I there's certain songs I would listen to that if they didn't have the stop and the track change in them, they would sound weird to me.
For me, it's And When I Die, Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Yeah.
I had this compilation 8-track that was pre-recorded, not recorded at home. And, you know, there's that big ending where it's just him singing with the horns. And when I die, and when I'm dead, then I'm gone. And then it's it hangs there for a second. And then there's that, last 30 seconds. Well, right there was a blip.
Yeah.
It would fade, click, fade back, and he'd sing the last part of the song. But, really? There was no better way to address this?
Well,
All right. I'm going to feed you guys out. Sorry. Thank you. Okay. I really like it. I love the way it draws. It's just vapor. You're not getting smoke. It's already different from the pipe I had previously or the pen I had. Still green. Very, very nice taste. And again, you're not even aware of, billowing smoke. It's just you've got a vapor. You draw it in. It's very easy to draw. Now, the one thing I do see is they give you extensions. And I can see why, because your lips are pretty close to the chamber. It's all wrapped in plastic, of course, but so you can feel the heat. And the extension is just a wonderful little feature. You just stick it on the end, and there you go. So I'm going to draw that next. Oh, yeah, I can feel the heat from it. I don't know what these devices, there's some devices down below. Oh, those are different levels you can do. Oh yeah, there's buttons for changing the heating level. We're not going there yet. This is just a trial run. And all I'm wondering is if this will get rid of some of the aches and pains that I feel on a daily basis in my back and legs. So let's just give it a minute. I'd be kinder to you if I just shut this thing off, but, hey, you remember when Ted Reakin, Island Podcasting, used to change the horn on his car or do something else equally clever, fix his barbecue or do something, and he was just one of those handy guys, a wonderful speaker, very mature man, a professor at UVic, I believe. One of the guys we knew from, I guess, the very earliest PAB conferences, he did a presentation, very, very neat guy, and then he stopped. I can't remember. He's put out a few since then. It's the soundscapes. He had the binaural mics, so sometimes he'd just take you for a little trip. And very, very neat. Somebody I respected very much. And this is nothing like that. I think that's the point I'm getting to. So I've taken half of one bud, and in the 5-gram container, let me if I just look. Oh my goodness, too many buds to count. Let me go up 25, maybe. So it's a fair good supply here. Yeah, these are just buds and they're dried. So you've got that little, you've got that stem running through that you don't use, but everything else is top quality dry leaves. Yeah. Oh, nice smell. And this is supposed to be more just a bit of a body stone. What did it say? Oh, it doesn't say it on the can, of course, but I wrote about this stuff on my Scarborough Dude Twitter account, if you're at all interested. Follow me. Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, if I forgot completely I was recording and just sort of went into inner space for a while, that that may mean something. I'm going to have another one, but I think I'll just let it go at that. This was just learning with Kim. I'm delighted. I'm so glad I picked this up. I'm so glad I put in a fresh order. I'm so glad I have live in an advanced country like Canada. Although, they say Canada criminalized pot about, you know, 20, 30 years before the Americans did. At the hands of some woman who, you know, was probably against drinking and everything else and having fun. And a lot of people thought it was all, no, it was just discriminatory because nobody was really using it. But you could probably target maybe the Asians in Vancouver, you know. So that may have been where some of the prohibition came from. And, of course, in America, as always, it was the darkies who smoked this stuff. So, yeah, I think I'm going to... we'll peek into the chamber together, because there should be almost nothing left in the chamber when you do this. But I just have to remember which is the best way to pop it off there, that way. And I'm going to dump out the chamber. Oh, no, it's not even burned. It's not even burned yet. My God. Well, that's interesting. It's going right back in. I know I got something. I was vaping. Well, maybe something that got burned, but... my gosh. He tried to convince me into buying a bigger model of a different company, and I just... yeah, it just wasn't there. Right, I'm going to put a little more in. So we got... yeah, we got nothing there. I can see little flaws. Like, as you're loading by hand, it's a small aperture you're dropping this into. So you're going to end up spilling, you know, crumbs here and there. Might even give you a brush. All right, top snap back on. And I'm going to dump the remains. See, the first set I had came with these wonderful little jars that you could keep your stuff in, your stash in. And I lost both of them somewhere. Pretty damn sure in Vancouver. I don't know where they went to or who got hold of them. And I know they had weed in them too, but somewhere. They disappeared when I came back from Australia. Spent that bit of time in Vancouver. All right, waste not, want not. Pick it up with my fingertips, drop it back into the big, big, big bin. So I only got 5 grams of this, 10 grams of a strong one, and 5 grams of, 10 grams of a... Why can I never remember the two kinds? Why? Because I don't have a working brain, partly. There are hybrids. Maybe one of them is a hybrid. And it is not influenza, what you're looking for. Those two varieties. It is not influenza. Alright, we're going to try this again, but I'm going to shut you out, and if I feel like coming back later, I'll do just that, alright? Oh my God, 20 minutes of that. This is nuts. This is not even worth releasing. But, if that has never stopped me in the past, so it's not going to stop me now. Alright? Just as long as we're clear on that.
It's the pouring. Didn't bring a sweater. Nebraska never let you come back home. No Hollywood vine. By the thrift and bought the sign. Any night I'll be willing. Young girl wearing sweet little dreams and pretty blue wishes standing there just getting all wet. And now the place all the drag called the Gilbert Hotel. And now the couple ladders buying out in a sign. And it's the Palatine, the bus stop. They do good business every time it rains. For little girls with nothing in their jeans, pretty blue wishes, sweet little dreams.
raining is pouring. Old man is snoring. Now I lay me down to sleep. I hear the sirens in the street. All my dreams made of chrome. I have no way to get back home. I'd rather die before I wake like Marilyn Monroe. Now you can throw my dreams out in the street and let the rain make them grow.
I just thought I should do a follow-up. It's about 30 minutes later. I'm in a different parking lot, and I'm just kind of drifting off, very relaxing. And I think that's kind of what I was expecting. You know, can't say I'm high, but definitely this has had an effect on me. And that was only, I only had one more draw after that one. It's still stuff in the chamber. But just slowly back, tilted the seat back, opened the windows, and just felt very relaxed. That was what the idea is, kind of a nice body stone. That's pretty nice. So I'm going to end this here for now. And you may have noticed there's only one way to listen to this whole thing, and that's at double speed. Bye for now.
100 times or more. He said, checkout time is 10 a.m. And now just what it means. Go on up the stairs with your sweet little wishes, your pretty blue dreams. And it's raining and it's pouring. Hollywood's just fine. Swindle little girl out of her dreams. Another letter in a sign. Now I never trust a scarecrow when she's after dark. Careful of that old bow tie he wears. It takes a sweet little bullet from a pretty blue gun to put those scarlet ribbons in your hair. Cherry bomb. 4th of July's all done. It's just some fool playing that second line from the barrel of a pretty blue gun. Lord, that ain't no cherry bomb. 4th of July's all done. That's some fool playing that second line from a barrel of a pretty blue.
We're on, and I'm not ready. But again, that usually doesn't stop me. I was just listening to music. I had the iPod on, earbuds in, and wow, this is nice. Just sitting here at the beach, on a picnic table in the shade, but looking out at the beach, right at the edge of the sand. This is Buffers Park Beach. A couple of lifeguards on duty, and man, at least 200 people down here on the beach. It's a lovely day. It's overcast. They got basketball or volleyball nets up, and people sitting under umbrellas. It's very nice to have a beach like this here. Anyway, I drove down here with the idea of testing out my new meds. You may have heard preceding clips. I was trying the one with minimal THC and high on the cannabinoids or whatever the word is I can't pronounce. This article is really interesting in the Walrus magazine, the what edition would this be? Summer, I guess. Oh, September 16. Great magazine, worth picking up, worth subscribing for. I really mean that. If I was going to have advertising on the Dixon James podcast, it would be things like Walrus Magazine. But when I look at my listenership, when I go into Google and see how many people maybe have downloaded, I don't, maybe it's only they visited the site. I don't know. I don't know what the stats those are. But it's a pretty damn small number. If I go further back, you know, you can get up to 100, 200 sometimes, or somewhere in between there. But a recent episode will come out, and I look, and it says, oh, 18 people have listened. Didn't see that. I don't know what it says. And again, I don't want to let that bother me. I've honestly in the past said all I care about is the quality of Dixon James listeners. You know, those people who actually come back because they're curious. Or like Anthony Marco and Bob Goyetch, people like that, kind people who I'll refer to in a minute, they're looking for personal podcasts. And that's what this is. As Bob used the term, an audio journal, it's that too. Now, they said something. They played a clip on the last dispatches from the Podcast Emporium. Anthony and Bob did one together. And talking about Anthony saying, instead of putting a song at the end, we'll put out a clip. Now, I like that idea because I'm often playing clips on my show. It's not that I'm taking credit for that. I just think it's a very valuable thing for podcasters to promote other podcasters. But I was very, very happy when it was decided it would be a clip from the Dixon James show. And Bob requested one in particular, which he couldn't find. He wasn't going to send Anthony on a crazy goose chase to dig through the first 100 episodes and find a clip he's always liked, where I'm trying to keep up with Apple's guidelines to how to podcast and realizing I'm not doing any of the things right, and was meant to be funny, and I guess it was. But instead, Anthony found a clip where I had got stopped outside. It was at a PAD conference and in Kingston. And I got barred from the bar for drinking along the perimeter. And I listened to it. I was quite impressed with the guy who did that podcast long ago. And Bob made funny comments before. No, he's lost it. He's not interesting anymore now that he's Canada's sort of given the boot to Scarborough or taken over the show. But what was interesting is the clip Anthony played. It was Ken making reference to the Scarborough dude. Now, the Scarborough dude was just going to go in and get drunk again, and Ken was trying to keep him on the straight and narrow. So I do find that funny, that this has been a long-running theme of Ken versus the Scarborough dude for this show. I'm not sure who you're listening to now. Because I've just tried out my second batch of the meds I ordered online. And this was one more of an indica, so it was less of a cerebral stone, but more of a body stone. And said, man, if you just into listening to some music and chilling and relaxing, this might be just a thing. But I seem to be a little bit high as well. And that's it's kind of nice. And again, I love this vaporizer, this, you know, proper vaporizer. There was just so little I seemed to take in, so little I put in, so little I took in, and wow. This could last me a year, I think, the rate I go. But anyway, it works. This is the good thing. So where from there? New territory, this idea of Ken versus the Scarborough dude. I guess one thing I have to say, I mean, definitely I seem to be more in control, more on my game back in that clip, you know, probably, who knows, was that 206, 207 maybe? 208, at least 8 years ago anyway. And yet, I'm happier with Ken, who Ken is today, than who he was back then. So, Ken's come a long way since then. I don't know, maybe it is a less interesting podcast. You think it's wounded? Good. Usually they do. Good. Yeah. There's a bright young canary. Maybe picking on something, and there's a city employee on the beach. I suggested maybe the bird's not too well. I mean, why is he still on the sand? But we don't know. He got off to take a picture of it. I think it's been wounded myself, but... I guess things are happy until then, you know, now suddenly... Oh, there he goes. Thank you. No. just a concerned citizen. I was hoping he wasn't hurt. Yeah. He must be okay. There he goes. It's like a canary. Beautiful, beautiful little yellow bed. We're looking for things in the sand. But anyway, we're sidetracked here, aren't we now? I was saying I liked Ken better now. Ken went lawn bowling today and enjoyed it again. Playing decently, and this is a new me because I've always had this image of I can't do anything in sports, you know. But, you know, I can get off some decent shots and enjoy it very much. And I know it's going to be good for me, just the bending and stuff. So anyway, yeah, I can see this is getting very, very boring. I think I'll go back to listening to music. I'll be glad that I will take off. But I may or may not end with that clip. That clip may start the next show. Who knows? Doesn't really matter. I'm just still a little concerned about this canary in front of me. Like, it can make flight of 6 feet, but I don't know why it's still on the sand. Biting into sand. What the hell could it be looking for here? It looks like a house pet, like a canary that got out of a cage. That's what it looks like. Doesn't look like it's from nature. All right. Anyway. Scrubber, dude. Signing out. I'll go back to seeing if I can get back into the groove and enjoy the tunes. The beautiful thing about shuffle is just hearing tunes you didn't even know you had. Bye for now.
I'm in the mood to move to the left 3 feet, goddammit. I'm in the mood to slide to the right 100 feet, goddammit. I'm in the mood to fall down the steps 4 flights, goddammit. I'm in the mood to fly in the air 12 feet, motherfuck. We in the mood to do our thing right now, Mohey now. Sunny fish, melon, jelly, ball in the jack at the meat wagon now. I'm in the mood to move my body like a weasel, goddammit. 4, 8, 8, 16 feet to the left, goddammit. I'm in the mood to whip your body with a tire iron. Kudo, groundhog, poop ball, 3 times, goddammit. A Kudo, groundhog, poop ball, 3 times, goddammit.
One time. So as we're wrapping up here, what clip from what podcast do you think we should listen to?
There is a wonderful clip I heard years ago, and I've never been able to find it. I know it still exists, I just haven't been able to
find
it.
So you're saying that I have to go find it? Is that what you're saying?
If you would find it, you know, you're not going to find it. I don't think anybody's going to find it, including the person who made it. But I would be forever grateful to hear it again. When Apple finally added podcasting to iTunes, because in the old days,
yes,
podcasting happened without iTunes, right?
Right.
So I'm just going to get myself out of the car. So what happened is they added podcast recording to GarageBand or whatever, and they put out a piece of audio. It was like a how-to.
Right.
It was like a webinar, but recorded.
Right.
How to make a podcast. And so with that, grandma or grandpa could listen to and whatever, and it would talk to you through the process of making a podcast. And probably the funniest thing I've ever heard is on an early Dixon James, probably well under 100 in terms of episode number,
yeah,
is Ken answering the voiceover of the, well, here's how you do a podcast. And he's arguing with him, as Ken will do, as Scarborough did, I guess. And it is one of the funniest pieces of audio I've only heard once. I was never able to find it again back then.
Put it this way.
But it's really funny. Hi, puppy. I'm home. Yes.
I will do it. I will do a surfacey search to see if I can find it. But I am not listening to 500 episodes of Dixon James.
No. I think you could probably find it if you listen only to the first 100 episodes.
Oh, okay. And then read the zine?
No. I don't think he ever mentioned the zine. The zine was, of course, on hiatus during that time. A clip. A recent clip.
Don't worry about it. I'll find it. Put it this way. if I can't find the old one, I'll find a current Dixon James clip to throw in there.
No, no, the current stuff sucks. He lost his edge, man.
He lost his edge when he became Ken Bull. He totally lost his edge.
No, something changed. Something changed when he assumed his own identity. No, they don't suck now, but, you know. I don't know, actually, I haven't listened to anything in a while, so I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
Figure it out.
I think that would be it. So hopefully you'll hear a clip somewhere at the end here. This will be an old clip of the Dixon James podcast. If I can't find the exact one, I will at least play an old clip.
Okay, let me make it easier for you.
Yes.
You won't find it. You won't find it. I looked for it. When I really cared, I looked for it. I didn't find it.
Well,
and I even asked Ken, and he couldn't find it. So
that's fine. So if I can't find it, I will. I'll at least go back to. I'll play an old clip. Put it that way.
You know what you could do is just play a clip and then argue with it in real time.
Yeah, I guess I could do that. But that sounds like work. Actually,
it does sound like work.
Anyway, I ended up in front of the pub with a beer in my hand. I've got my own sense of etiquette, okay? You don't walk into a bar with a can of beer that you've bought in the liquor board. You know, you just don't do that. So I did the right thing. I stood on the sidewalk outside the bar and politely finished it in a conversation. I was standing with Bill Dees and another lovely young lady. I'm sorry, I can't remember her name, but that's certainly why I was standing there. Drinking my beer peacefully, and I see a lot of bouncers scouting the peripheries of the bar, and of course they see me, and I give a nice smile, continue drinking my beer, and he says, you can't do that. And I said, oh, okay, well, I'll just finish it off. So I'm near the end, top it down, finish it off, crumple the can, put it in my pocket. I mean, I can't think of anything more like a responsible Ontario civilian would do. Politely listen to the bouncer, finish your beer, crumple a can, put it in your pocket, and say that's done with. And he says, well, now I can't let you in. And, of course, the first reaction is, pal, let's not let this escalate. Let's just forget this ever happened. These are my friends in there. You're making, you could be making, I believe I used the word could, because I wanted to give, you know, when you negotiate with a bouncer, and you know what you're doing, you're not drunk and obnoxious. He knew that. He knew I wasn't, well, no, he probably didn't know that. But I knew I wasn't drunk, so I politely used the word could. You could be making a very big mistake. It wasn't like one of these, oh, yeah, poke your finger in his chest. You're making a mistake, buddy, because that's looking for trouble. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm a peace, love, dope kind of man, you know. I say, well, you know, you could be making a very big mistake. Those are my podcasting friends there, and I need to be with them. And he said, yeah, but I get a fine, $125,000, I think he quoted, out of the year. Could have been $165,000, who knows. And I realized then and there, no, why would I want to give this guy a hard time? He's doing his job. I'm some jerk out on the sidewalk drinking beer outside of his establishment. I'm not the kind of guy he wants to have in his bar. There's enough people in there already on a Saturday night, you know? And I needed to back down. Okay, you know, that's cool. That's fine. I'm not going to make a fuss. Probably on an unconscious level, I think it was Ken sabotaging the Scarborough Duke, because I have the feeling the Scarborough Duke was up to no good intentions whatsoever. He was going to get in there and get drunk again. He had already done that Friday night. He was going to do it again Saturday night. Ken politely acquiesced to the bouncer's demands and stayed out. Best thing that could happen to me. Didn't stop me. I went back to the room, got another can of beer. There was a hydro voltage, great big green box, I guess, you know, the things control traffic lights and so on, right across the street from the bar. So I made that into my own bar. I stood there very comfortably. I had a wonderful conversation. Sylvain was kind enough to join me. And I stood, my arm leaning, it was just the right height, my arms on the voltage box, and I got my can of Hockley Valley Gold. So I'm quite happy. I've got a decent beer. I can't get the bloody beer inside the bar. I'm better off outside anyway. I got my beer. I'm watching the crowd. I'm having fun. I'm having a great chat with Sylvain. Sylvain, by the way, wonderful, wonderful man. I am just so glad to have Sylvain as a friend. And I guess let me get back to enough of this drinking and so on. Back to the point behind this whole thing. It is about meeting people. And the beauty of podcasters is it's a self-selective group. We all know that. It's full of weirdos. And I guess it's just the nature of the job. Generally a lot of shy people, a lot of people who want to share, though. A lot of people have something to offer, a lot of creative people, a lot of talented people, a lot of very interesting people, a lot of very bright people. And that's the beauty of it. That's what it's all about. It is like joining the best, best club you could imagine. Now, I'm saying that as a podcaster. If you're not a podcaster, I don't know how you'd feel about this whole damn thing. You might be a little bored with some of the tech talk. I mean, everybody's got pockets and bags full of gadgets. It's quite funny when you think about it. I mean, everybody, you know, checking out everybody else's phone recorder, this, that. You can go on for days. But that's just kind of the framework that holds the whole thing together. That's just part of the little technical structure. Those are some of the building blocks. The point of it all is the personal interactions, the love we share.